previously on the Skip and Josh Sports Show.
You're to score or get points when there's one fewer player on the ice from the opposing team.
This is why people should listen to our show. Yeah. Because nobody except you will actually even think about this.
I think about interesting things.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh Sports Show.
Skip.
Cub, how's it going?
Good. I'm excited because we have our second guest ever today, and I'll let you introduce him.
Sure. So, as you know, we had recently had our friend Koss from Chicago, and we had the Chicago episode. Today, we're going south. We're going to have our friend Mike from Atlanta to talk about everything, you know, going on in Atlanta sports. So, hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's going well, guys. How about yourself?
Great. So I was trying to figure out how long you've been in Atlanta, and I guesstimated it, and I estimated 2001, but then you told me yesterday that it was actually you've been there since 2000.
That is correct.
So wow. So
I've been there it's a long time already.
Oh, it's amazing. It's like time flies. I can't believe how long you've been there. I guess you're not counting that 1 year where you came back to Toronto. That's like the lost year.
Yes, exactly. <That's> like... Well said.
So, you know, when we had Costa on and talked about Chicago sports, it was like, wow, it was a no-brainer, right? We went right into the Cubs because, man, like, he had a magical summer with the World Series. So how are things going in Atlanta? I mean, I guess the sports teams are, you know, mediocre at best.
There's actually some excitement about some of them. We certainly can't talk Thrashers because they're no longer here.
Well, you were the only fan, right?
I was one of maybe six, yes. We'll get into that maybe a little bit later. But there's definitely some buzz around the Braves, given that they're moving to SunTrust Park in April. And this was obviously their last year at Turner Field.
It's crazy. And I feel like that field, Turner Field, is like brand new.
Yeah, and only was built, I think, in 96. So I think when the Olympics were here, and then I guess they did some research. Apparently, most of their season ticket holders come from Cobb County, which is a suburb of Atlanta, and they moved it up there.
So is that closer for you, or does it make a difference?
It is about 5 minutes from my office, but it's way across town from where I live.
Right.
So good luck to all those people, because Atlanta is a driving city. So getting there, good luck.
I know. That's what they say about Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
4 million people, 3 million cars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You literally have to drive everywhere. But so there's some excitement. I have to say, I don't know the last time a rotation had 240-something-year-olds in it. Maybe the Negro brothers? I'm not really sure, to be honest with you.
You're referring, of course, to Bartolo Colon and R.A. Dickey, who were recently signed by the Braves.
That is correct.
The thing about Bartolo is, like, he's serviceable, right? Like, he's 40-something years old, but, like, he's still okay, right? But R.A. Dickey, I mean, he can't get anybody out.
I think using those guys is something similar to what your Chicago correspondent had mentioned earlier about just being mentors for some of these young pitchers.
Yeah, I guess.
Plus the fact is they're going to eat 200 innings, right? He's a knuckleballer, so he could throw 500 innings and never hurt his arm.
Yeah,
so,
but if his ERA is 5, what's the point?
Yeah, I get it. I hear you. I don't think they don't plan – well, I don't think they're going to win a lot this coming year either.
Yeah.
But they just signed Sean Rodriguez to a 2-year contract as a utility guy. And again, there's talk about them going after Chris Sale or Chris Archer because basically – the Braves has always been about pitching, I think.
Well, since they've been good, I mean, all those years, it's always been about pitching. That's kind of like their identity, right?
Correct. So their farm system was basically destroyed, and then they traded all these guys like Kimbrel and all these other guys Upton and got all these pitchers like Sean Newcomb and Matt Whistler and Mike Fultonavich.
Never even heard of these guys. I'm glad to see this is why we have you on.
Well, I'm very knowledgeable about the Braves. So I think they're trying to groom these guys. And again, they have tons of pitchers. But again, at the end of the day, who knows if these guys ever pan out to be anything good, right?
The division's tough. The National League East is tough. You know, the Nationals aren't getting bad anytime soon. And neither are the Mets. So
no, agreed.
It's an uphill climb.
And the Phillies will... You know, the Phillies will probably be better in the next couple of years.
I went to a game in Philly this year. Their lineup is, you know, minor league at best. But probably next week or the week after, we'll have on Mark from Philadelphia. We'll do a Philadelphia episode. He'll tell us all about their prospects. I mean, he's positive about the Phillies. So,
right.
One thing I'll say about R.A. Dickey, I'm not optimistic. But as you mentioned, he does eat up innings. He doesn't get injured, so he's going to throw over 200 innings. And also, moving from the American League to the National League, really, you can hope for him lowering his ERA by, let's say, half a run or maybe even three quarters of a run per game moving into the National League. So it might not be a disaster. That's the most optimistic right. thing I can say about it.
Well, that's the most optimistic thing, except, I mean...
Maybe he'll recover his Cy Young Award-winning form.
I mean... It's so crazy, like, to think that he had that 1 year. It's the numbers are so ridiculous.
And I mean, he was in the same division. He was with the Mets, so he was in the same division, and that was his best year. So, you never know.
That's all luck with the knuckleballers. You don't know. They don't know. No, they don't even know where the ball's going.
Agreed. They still need hitting too. Like, other than Freddie Freeman, you know, Dansby Swanson looks good at shortstop. But they're going to need some hits. Encarnacion, I never pronounce his name correctly. But the center fielder, who they got in the Shelby Miller trade, again, he had a good second half. So, anyways, I think, you know, they have a plan. I don't think they plan on necessarily doing it this year, possibly the following year. But we'll see. The CBA is still in discussion, is my understanding, too. So I think there's some hesitation on people to trade and sign players as of now.
Yeah, well, there's been a little bit of CBA talk this week. You know, because it's, you know, they're talking about negotiations, but I mean, you think that I hope that the owners are not and the players are not stupid enough to try to get greedy and throw away season. You know.
No, I agree. I think it'll all happen, but we'll see. On a separate note, I would like to discuss the Hall of Fame ballot for 2017.
Let's go for it. Let's get your take on it for sure.
All right. So first, I'm looking at a ballot. This is from an ESPN staff writer. I won't disclose his name.
You can disclose his name. I think I saw it also online the other day. He posted who he picked.
But I am reading some of the names on this list, and I'm like, these aren't even close to Hall of Fame players.
But the reason they're on the list, we discussed this, you weren't there, sorry. So the reason they're on the list is because once you've been out of baseball for X number of years, I don't know if it's five or whatever many number of years, you automatically get put on the ballot. That's why there's like 50 guys on the ballot.
No, I get it.
It doesn't mean you're going to make it.
But again, sometimes a guy should just opt out and say, like Freddie Sanchez, he should say, I'm not a Hall of Famer. Don't even put me on.
Freddie Sanchez?
Yes. He doesn't have that option. They just put him on.
Well, he should call in and say, take me off, because he doesn't deserve to be there. But
Let's start the Freddie Sanchez.
Tim Raines definitely has to be there.
Let's start the Freddie Sanchez watch, and let's see how many votes he's going to get. Do you want to start a campaign to get him into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, my God. This sounds like the John Scott fiasco from last All-Star game.
Well, yeah.
Which, by the way, the NHL this week changed the rule for All-Star games, and they're calling it – well, they're not calling it, but the media is calling it the John Scott rule.
Yes, thank God. Thank God. But, Tim Raines needs to go in. That's all I could say about that. It's his last year on the ballot. He should get in. If he doesn't, I'm going to petition left, right, and center.
It's going to be too late. Then it'll be up to the Veterans Committee.
Yeah, exactly. He should get in. You know, when you look at his WAR and all his stats, guy's like the top five left fielders of all time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we both agree. I mean, we're biased too, Expo fans, but I mean the numbers are there. Yeah.
I have to say, we have the last remaining Expo in the major leagues on the Braves.
Bartolo.
Big fat Bartolo Colon, big sexy.
You know what was amazing this past season? Twitter and the whole internet almost collapsed when he hit a home run. When he hit that home run this year, it was like the universe stopped. It was crazy. People were losing their mind. Well, he's still rounding the bases.
I made dinner for my family and came back, and he was still running around third.
Poor guy.
It was ridiculous.
He gets so much abuse. But, I mean, he's like we said, he's still a serviceable major league pitcher.
You know what? When he was on the Expos, I loved him. He was actually great.
He was.
Yes, but how many years ago was that?
Yeah, that was
15 years ago.
But it's a long time ago. Speaking of the Baseball Hall of Fame, it's great to go to MLB.com and you see the article about the nominees, and you see a picture of Tim Raines in an Expos uniform and Vlad Guerrero in an Expos uniform.
Larry Walker.
It's just awesome to see that. It brings back such good memories for me.
No, absolutely. And as a former Expo fan, because obviously they don't exist anymore, but like I'd love to see Vlad and Tim get in on the same year. That would be awesome.
I don't think Vlad's getting in.
No. I don't think Vlad's getting in either.
If they both get in the same year, which it would have to happen this year because it's Tim Raines' last chance, then we'll all go to Cooperstown for the ceremony.
Oh, I would love to do that.
Count me in. First of all, Rock Raines, he said he's going in as an Expo if he goes in.
Well, he should. He had some good years. He had good years on the White Sox, and he had a couple of good, decent years on the Yankees. The Yankee fans really love him still. They appreciated him on the Yankees. But, I mean, obviously all those 70-plus stolen base years are all on the Expos, right?
Yeah. Well, and I read something, a quote from him, where he said, like, he really, how the city embraced him, and he embraced the city. And, again, when you look back, it makes a lot of sense. So, anyways,
I'm looking at Tim Raines' career stats, and I completely forgot that he played a season. Well, really, only 58 games for Oakland. I forgot that.
Didn't know that.
He played 98 games for Florida.
Didn't know that. Well, yeah, that I knew because then he was with the Marlins organization after.
Right, and he also played 4 games for Baltimore. I had no idea.
4 games.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big comeback he tried to make, I guess.
In that same in 2001.
2001.
Yeah, he was on two different teams. He's played 4 games for Baltimore, and he played 47 games for Montreal in 2001.
Oh, they played it. He played 4 games on Baltimore. Probably it was a publicity stunt. They tried to get him and Tim Raines Jr. playing together.
That could be.
Oh, yeah. That could very well be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show. They don't take your calls.
All right, so I'm going to give you a little more info on the Falcons.
Yes, let's talk NFL.
So we haven't talked hockey, football.
We're
yet.
Supposed
yes, sir.
To ask you the questions, just so you know. That's how it works. It's our show. We ask you the questions.
So, Book, tell us about the Falcons.
So the Falcons. So there is definitely some excitement circulating around the Falcons. Their record of being 6-4 obviously puts them in first place, but they could have had a stranglehold on the division, honestly, with a couple of wins that slipped away. Like there was one in Seattle. I think Richard Sherman.
Oh, that was a joke.
It kills me. He gets away with a lot of murder.
Well, I mean, I hate that team. They're cheaters. That Seattle team is a bunch of cheaters. I can't stand them.
And then there was another game that's slipping my mind right now. I mean, it was a Tampa game. Either way, there was another one that slipped away from them. But either way, their defense is
bad.
It's a work in progress. Let's put it this way. Vic Beasley's got like 9 sacks or 9.5 sacks. Last year he had a total of 3.
Yeah.
So he's doing way better this year than he was last year. They're finally getting a little bit of a pass rush. But with football, it's, you know, healthy bodies and getting hot at the right time. So they just got to get in.
It seems to me like with the Falcons, like they got off to a good start, right? And Matt Ryan's throwing all kinds of touchdowns and Julio Jones is catching all kinds of touchdown passes and they seem to be like a really good team. And then it's like, we've seen this before, right?
We have, but like, so last year, right, they got off to the hot start 5-1 and they crumbled. But I think this year, second year under Shanahan's system, Matt Ryan's having career year as good as he's been.
How many times have people said Matt Ryan's having a career year?
Probably several, but he is. He's having really a career year. He's
got
one
of
the
best receivers.
I do like Matt Ryan. He reminds me a lot of Peyton.
Really?
Yeah.
Except without the numbers.
Well, no, he's got, again, he has to play a lot longer to do that. But I just like his composure. I like that he, he's nicknamed Matty Ice for a reason, right?
Yeah, because he never won a big game.
No.
Whenever I hear Matty Ice, I'm like, how did this guy get this nickname Matty Ice? It means like he's cool and calm in the clutch situations, collected. But they've never won a big game.
They won that big game against was it Seattle or the Niners? In the championship game. Or the divisional game.
Not the championship game. Yeah.
It was a divisional game. Yeah. I think to get to the NFC championship game.
Yeah.
That was probably 3-4 years ago, right?
I just wonder, like, I guess it's unfair to say because so many teams, you can say this about many quarterback and wide receivers. Like, if you took away Julio Jones, is he good? Is Matt Ryan good?
He's not as good.
But I mean, it's unfair to say because you could say the same thing about so many players.
Like, I will say one thing about Julio Jones. I love him dearly. The man is a beast on the field.
Yeah.
But I find, like, the Falcons, they don't, like, with the Steelers, they throw to Antonio Brown as many times as they possibly can.
Yeah.
With the Falcons, this has just been my observation. They'll throw to Julio for, like, 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden, like, a whole quarter will go by, and they won't throw to him anymore.
It's funny because I was away on business the week the Eagles played the Falcons. It was 2 weeks ago. So I was texting my son at home, like, what's going on in the game? I mean, I'm following it on my phone with the scores and everything, but I'm like, he's watching the game. I'm like, I want to know what's going on. I'm like, how are they covering Julio? Like, how is the score so low? And he's like, they're holding him on every play.
And he does. He gets held constantly because he's just a beast out there. And they let a lot of that stuff go. Well, like you said,
I think a lot of teams are using the Seattle strategy of basically pass interference and holding on every play and daring the refs to call it. And the league's going to get to a point where they're going to either have to change some of the rules about holding and pass interference, or they're going to have to call it more, or just let things go. Like they have all these rules for a reason, because at one point things got so difficult for the receivers that scoring was so down.
Right.
So they want to, but now the scoring's up. But the thing is, no one wants to see pass interference. Like, that's not entertaining to watch pass interference.
Right? On every play, it's ridiculous.
No, even when it's called. I mean, it's not entertaining to see, like, 20 flags a game, you know? So that's, to me, that's part of why the NFL ratings are a bit down, because I think the product is a little bit watered down right now.
Yeah, but the Falcons have a good offense. Again, that's going to keep them in games. They need to get Tevin Coleman back and healthy. Because then they give them two running backs and a bunch of wide receivers. And
division's lousy.
Not great. Like, Carolina's having a down year. The Saints are always the Saints, and the Bucks are kind of always the Bucks. So it's the Falcons can have it if they want it, but, like, obviously there's six more games. We'll see how things go. And then once they're in, you never know. Listen, the Giants got in twice as a 9-7 and won the Super Bowl, so you just never know.
Is there talk about a new stadium for them, or is the George Dome, like, their home forever?
No, they're building one right now, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
I like how you know the names of the sponsors.
Mercedes-Benz, it's right next to the Dome. I was down there because I went to a Hawks open practice a couple of weeks ago, and they were in the process of building it. Should be open for next season.
Wow. Is it going to be, is it outdoor, indoor, what is it?
So it's a retractable roof.
Oh, God.
It's similar to, the one they built in Minnesota.
Right.
That one looks really nice, by the way, on television.
Yeah, so this is, again, I don't know, it was quite the price tag associated with it.
Who paid for it?
I think a combination. And then they have these personal seat licenses that they're selling now, which is also a big pain in the butt, I think, for a regular Joe that just wants to take his family to a game. I think that's hard to do because it just gets pricey. But, so I think, again, all these teams are moving in that direction, right? New stadiums. So that's what I got about the Falcons.
Hi there. Skip and Josh will be right back. To get in touch with them, you can send them an email to skipandjoshshow@gmail.com. You can follow them on Twitter @skipandjosh, and you can visit their website at www.skipandjosh.com. And now, back to the show.
What about the Hawks? You said you went to a Hawks open practice. Are you, like, is your household like an NBA household now, or are the Hawks catching on?
No.
I mean, I know your kids are big into baseball. Obviously, I know your kids play baseball. And, I mean, NFL dominates, you know, the fandom of every city. So you're not a big Hawks household, I guess.
No, not a big one. Again, we went to an open practice. We got to meet some of the players. I have to say, we got to meet Dwight Howard. He seemed pretty relaxed and happy to be home, because obviously this is his hometown.
Yeah.
And he's been doing well so far. Again, the Hawks I think they have a decent team. Again, the East is weak. I mean, other than the Cavs and the Raptors and the Hawks,
they're off to a good start, the Hawks. They're 10-6.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah. So again, they could make it to the championship round against the Cavs, but unfortunately you got to go through LeBron.
It's a bit of a weird NBA season in that, like, I'm in a city with no team, so, like, I kind of don't have, like, a rooting interest in anybody that much, but I still usually follow it, but this year it's like Cleveland, Golden State. It seems like a foregone conclusion, you know. So the regular season seems to have lost some of its drama. Maybe as we get closer to the end, it will heat up, I guess. But
no, I agree. Again, I think even the West, which is normally strong, again, it's like you said, it's if Golden State doesn't come out of that, that would be rather
well.
Surprising.
The Clippers seem to be making a statement right now, so we'll
they
see.
Are,
but they like but... they're like we'll see like. Like what I just said with the Atlanta Falcons, you know, we've seen that story before, right? So they have to prove it to people.
No,
to
exactly.
Believe it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think Golden State's definitely got a chip on their shoulder after what happened last year, and they want to get back and prove that this was no accident. Obviously, with KD in the fold, there's no reason they shouldn't get there, honestly.
They're unbelievable.
They are. Like, but again, the Cavs actually look better this year than last year. So good luck to the Hawks, because again, I hopefully they can beat them, but it's going to be tough. But yeah, I like what they're doing. Again, they seem to get fans out there and seem to be drawing crowds and doing well. So
the Skip and Josh Sports Show is back.
I'd love to talk hockey, but we can't because there's no hockey team. Unless you want to talk Gwinnett Gladiators of the East Coast Hockey League, that's all I got for you.
No, actually, I do have a question. When the Thrashers moved to Winnipeg. Did anyone notice other than you?
There was a bit of a protest. It was a very small protest, if I remember correctly, but there were some fans that weren't happy about it. But yeah, eventually they moved to Winnipeg and that was it. There's definitely tons of hockey fans in the city. The problem is they're all hockey fans of other teams. Like, to recall, my first Thrasher game I ever went to, so this was maybe 2001. Maybe 2000, I went to a Detroit Red Wings game against the Thrashers. Okay? I felt like I was in Detroit. There were more Red Wings fans than Thrasher fans, and the Thrasher fans that were there, all they wanted to do was see a fight. That's it. They didn't know what offside was. They didn't know what a blue line was. They didn't know what icing was. They didn't know any of this stuff.
Don't you think
they just
that's
wanted
how,
to see a fight.
Don't you think that's what's going to happen in Las Vegas? I could
maybe.
See the same thing in Las Vegas.
Maybe. Could very well be.
It's going to be groups of guy friends traveling down to watch their team play.
Could be. Yeah. You know, and again, certain teams, they always travel well. Anyways, Detroit's definitely one of them, but I was just shocked. But again, when I go to the Canadiens games against the Thrashers, again, tons of Canadiens fans, tons of Leafs fans. So it was just one of those cities. There's tons of hockey fans. They're just all from different, you know, it's all Northerners that move south. I mean, the good part is I get to go to Canadiens. I get to go to one game a year. So I'm going to see the Canadiens this year at home against, of course, who else? The Winnipeg Jets.
Really?
The former Thrashers.
Did you pick that on purpose or just the way it
no,
came?
No, it just came out that way.
Holy smokes. When is that game?
February.
And that's when that's when you're taking your son and his friends and everybody, right?
Correct.
Right.
Correct. So, yeah, but obviously we follow hockey a lot. Obviously, being a former Montrealer and still a diehard Habs fan, I've seen every Habs game so far this year.
You have?
Yeah, I have the center ice package, so I DVR every game and I watch.
He's
every
the one
game.
Who signed up for it.
No, that center ice package, I think, has people.
I'm kidding. But you don't need it in Canada because you get so much hockey as it is. You don't need it here.
Right. So I watch every game, and I'll say this, until they get a bunch of secondary scoring, they're going to be in trouble.
No, but the thing is, what's so weird about the team is that last year, the first line was Plekanec, Pacioretty, and Gallagher. That was the first line.
Oh, I know.
So they are getting the secondary scoring because Radulov and Galchenyuk are on fire. It's just that the guys who normally are producing, I know Plekanec is not great and he's getting old and maybe he's not so good anymore. But, I mean, Pacioretty and Gallagher, there's no excuse. I think they'll be a good team if Pacioretty and Gallagher return to, like, their normal selves.
No, I agree. I think, and watching the games, it's not lack of effort on either one's part.
No, you can see the frustration levels very high.
They're just not putting the puck in the net. And again, that does get frustrating after, you know, 8, 9. Gallagher was at 13 games or more where he hasn't scored a goal. Obviously, it helps when you have the best goalie in the world. Shea Weber is a great fit for their system. I know everyone was very upset when PK got traded, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because I'm sure you guys have talked about that already, but it just PK was a better fit for Nashville, and Weber's a better fit for Montreal.
Are you going to go to a game in Nashville this year? You know, the last few years you've gone.
Yeah, I wanted to go against the Habs, but we're actually out of town. We're going on family vacation. But I might make a trip up there at some point before the end of the season.
Because you've met PK, right? Outside the bus and stuff, outside the hotel?
Yeah, we would meet all the players. Funny enough, Carey Price is the only one we've never met so far. We've done this for 3 years in a row. Uh-huh. He's the only one. I think 1 year he went right on the bus, so we didn't see him. And then the other year he was injured. And then this year we're not going. So, but yeah, no, it's fun. We met PK, super nice guy. I have to say, Markov gave us a snarl and walked away from us.
Really?
After practice, yeah, he just walked right to his room. He didn't sign anything for my kids.
Oh God, Markov.
But that's the way it goes. I get it. It's no big deal. So yeah, so the Habs, we'll see what happens with them. Again, it's obviously, you know, it's a microscope, right?
Oh, it's so bad here. If you listen to the Montreal Sports Radio book, you would just cry. Everything is so overanalyzed. Josh, you're not the one. I know what you're going to say right now. You're going to say they have to fill 8 hours of airtime a day, right?
24 hours,
but,
not 8.
Yeah, but I mean, the Montreal Sports Radio, it's just so ridiculous. If you were to hear what they were talking about yesterday, how come Pacioretty didn't come out on the ice when they named him the third star? What's wrong with him? Is there something going on? Is he mad at the management? Is he mad at the coach? Why didn't he come out? I'm like, God, ask him why. And he said he got confused because they didn't announce his name at the right time, and the other network had him as the first star, and he wasn't sure when he was supposed to go out.
It's fishbowl mentality,
it's
right?
So like, ridiculous. And then you know what they're talking about? How come six forwards got more ice time than Alex Galchenyuk last game? It's a legit question, right?
Yeah, it's a legit question.
But circumstances happen. He doesn't play on the penalty kill.
Right.
Galchenyuk doesn't come out on the penalty kill. And Pacioretty, Plekanec, Gallagher, Mitchell, whoever, there's other guys that play on the penalty kill. So if you're killing a lot of penalties that game, which there was a whole bunch of them, then his ice time's down, you know?
Yep.
Like, it's not rocket science to figure it out. But last year, people are so sensitive after last year because they felt like the coach wasn't using Galchenyuk properly.
Right.
He's fifth in the league in scoring. How is it? No. How? I guess he's using him properly, right?
Yeah, no. He's having a good season. Sometimes
you play a little bit less, you do a little bit better. You know, Cub, we always used to talk about Philippe Alou and Sean Barry.
Yeah, I couldn't stand Sean Barry.
I know, but Philippe Alou squeezed every ounce of talent out of that guy.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
He wouldn't put him up against a tough matchup. A certain pitcher that, you know, lefty, righty, whatever it is, he wouldn't put him in that game. And then all of a sudden you throw him in and he knew when to put him in and he got the maximum out of him.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I have to say with the Habs, they got a steal with Radulov.
Oh, God. It's just ridiculous.
And I'll tell you this. When he was not in the lineup because he was sick with whatever ailment he had.
They were bad.
They weren't the same. They were not the same team.
Like, and you know what? I think the best that Radulov is going to come because I think I think he's built for the playoffs. So,
well, listen, there's still the jury's still out. It's only like not even a quarter of the season, I think.
Yeah.
And yes, he's been great up until now. But if you recall when he was on Nashville, and this was during the playoffs, I think he went out one night before playoff.
Yeah, I know. Hold on. Everybody's going to bring
up. He was a young kid. Now he's a dad. He's got kids. You hear him talk. He's all happy. He's happy to be in Montreal. He's a totally different person.
Cub, let's see
if he's a totally different person.
When they signed him,
full season in order to make that assessment. I don't think you can make that assessment after 20 games or whatever it's been.
I guess the jury's still out. But I mean, you know, when they signed him, it just goes to show no one knew anything. Everybody talked about, oh, he didn't get along with his teammates in Nashville. Oh, he went out drinking. He's immature. Sure, he's not going to be a fit. He's going to be the next Alex Semin. He's going to be released before, you know, after 20 games. Or he's going to be benched. Terry is going to hate him. There's all this stuff. That's all anybody talked about for the whole summer. And then what happened? They saw him play one game. You know, everybody talked about all that stuff without even seeing the guy play. They saw him play one game, and let me tell you something. He's a Bell Center favorite right now. When he touches the puck, it's Radu.
There's no question he has talent. He's full of talent. There's no question about that.
No.
But Alex Semin also was full of talent.
Not the same player. Because Radulov is a grinder. He's a skilled player who plays like a grinder. He goes in the corners. He gets physical. He roughs it up. And
I completely agree. Like the other night against, who did they? I can't remember. Carolina. He just took guys off the puck like nothing.
Yeah.
Like they were just little kids. Like, get out of my way, kid. I'm going to get the puck.
I think they're built for the playoffs. With guys like Shaw and him, I think that they're and Weber, they've built a team for the playoffs, and like,
yeah,
let's hope they make it. I mean, we all like, I'm still like traumatized from last season, and I still see the signs of everything that happened from last season, right?
Well, I think that's the concern, right? So they're kind of in the same boat, similar record, right? Started off well, and now all of a sudden they're starting to fall off a little bit, and people are getting worried.
Yeah.
But of course, now Carey Price is there. So if they fall off now, they really have no excuses. But they shouldn't fall off. At the end of the day, they have a good enough team to compete.
They have Detroit tonight, and they're going on the West Coast trip. So that's a good test. So we'll see how they do.
That will be a good test. If
sometimes
they can win,
going out on the road is good. They've had a lot of home games, so.
Yes, agreed. We'll see what happens.
You're listening to Skip and Josh Sports Show.
Do we have any time to talk college football or what?
No, actually. I want to ask you a few things.
No, he just got shut you down.
No.
We don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. You could talk about college football with Skip if you want, but I have some questions I need to ask you.
All right, fine. Shoot. Is this like a rapid fire type
no,
of
it's
question?
Not rapid fire. No, it's not all rapid fire.
All right.
Your fantasy football team. I'm looking at your fantasy football team. Somehow you're in third place, and so you're in a playoff spot right now. You're exactly at 500. But what I don't get is how your team is any good. You've picked up four guys that I cut, and if I cut them, they must suck because my team's awful. And you've got four of them on your roster, and yet your team's in third place. So I need you to explain to me how your team's in third place.
You've got good players.
Smoke and mirrors, my friend. First of all, I started off well. I haven't won a lot lately, and first of all, I have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. So from a fantasy perspective, they put up a lot of points. And I have Le'Veon Bell. That's all you need. I got enough guys to get me.
You also have Theo Riddick, Randall Cobb, Terrence West, and one other guy that I cut.
Jordan Howard.
Hightower, I think you had Hightower.
Hightower's having a great year.
Yeah.
You don't know when he's going to do it, but all of a sudden,
exactly.
Yeah.
First of all, Cam Newton is having a down year, so it's too bad that I picked him.
Yeah, but
he's on your bench. He doesn't matter.
No, I know. And it's Jarvis Landry was in my starting lineup, but he too is having a terrible year, so I needed a wide receiver. So Randall Cobb was it, because I don't have anyone else. Marvin Jones on Detroit, he started off strong and then petered away like he's not even playing anymore.
Yeah.
So, again, it's all smoke and mirrors. I'll say I'll be lucky to hang on to my playoff spot.
You know how it is, Cobb. You pick up guys, you drop guys.
Fantasy football, there's so much luck involved. I'm only half kidding when I'm asking you this question, but it is funny that I've cut four guys recently. You've picked them up, and the guys suck, but yet you're ahead of me in the standings.
Go ahead.
Book is like some kind of idiot savant of fantasy sports. You know,
especially
in all our leagues,
baseball.
No, you're always competitive. You're always picking up random. You know what used to frustrate me so much in fantasy baseball? I'd be like, oh, yeah, a guy got injured. A closer got injured. I'm going to go pick up the new closer. I go look him up. You've already got him. It's like it happened to me like five times. I'm like, God damn, that bookie picks up guys. The second a guy gets injured, he picks up his replacement.
I try to stay on top of things.
Yeah, clearly.
But, yeah, I mean, fantasy football is the most erratic of the bunch. You just don't know what you're going to get week to week, honestly.
Yeah, that's why I told Cub, I think next year we need to do, like, a two-game-per-week setup. You know, you ever heard of this? Like, you're actually playing two games in the same week? And maybe, you know, maybe it makes it more interesting and changes things up a little bit.
Yeah, or pick 'em type of thing. But even that, I mean, that's all random. Like, I don't know. The whole
thing
remember
when we used to do the Survivor Pool? It was too stressful for me.
It was
very
stressful.
Oh my God! One year we went like pretty far, and I was going nuts.
It's funny. Before I even moved to Atlanta, I always hated the Saints because in those survival pools, I would always pick the Saints, and every time I picked them, they'd knock me right out.
For me, it's the Giants.
Oh, hated it.
The Giants are so erratic. Oh my God.
Kills me.
Remember one year in the survivor pool? We went out in like the first or second week of the survivor pool because it's the Giants, because they had Kurt Warner and he couldn't throw. He couldn't hang on to the ball.
Hate.
Yeah.
Book, I'm going to ask you a few more questions.
All right.
So Skip and I participate in this Pigskin Pick'em where we have to pick against the spread.
Yep.
And so we pick all the games. But I'm going to ask you to pick three games right now this coming weekend. Obviously, none of the Thursday games because they've already passed.
NFL only, you're talking about.
NFL only. So okay. Here are the three games that
NFL have. Only. He's going to be like James Carville, and he's going to pick like TCU versus.
Yeah, I was ready to pick a college football and a hockey and.
Well, we can talk college football after this, but I want to know your picks for these three NFL games.
Okay.
Firstly, let's do the Falcons game. They're playing at home this week against Arizona, and they're favored by 4.5, according to the stats I have in front of me.
Yeah.
So who are you picking for that game?
Oh, I'm picking the Falcons all the way. I'm going to be a homer, take the Falcons, and give the points.
Okay,
I took the Cardinals.
And I say that only because, again, they got a high-flying offense. They're at home. They're coming off a bye. They're ready to rock and roll. Dan Quinn's going to get them fired up. Go Falcons. Rise up, baby.
There's something wrong with the Cardinals. Like, there's something just wrong about the team, you know? That's why I picked them to go against every rational thought.
It's called Carson Palmer.
I guess.
He's too old. It's time for him to get out of Dodge.
Okay, next game I'm going to ask you. It's the Sunday night game. It's in Denver. Kansas City is visiting Denver. Both teams are 7-3, and Denver's favored by 3.5.
Ooh, Denver's favored by 3.5. I'm actually gonna take the road team on this one. I like the road team. I think Kansas City's got a good defense. Obviously, Denver's got a really good defense. But you don't hear this often. I'm gonna trust Alex Smith a little bit more than Trevor Siemian. And I say that only because, again, he's got a little bit more experience behind him. And Andy Reid will get him ready to go. So that's okay. My thought on that one.
And then the third and final game I'm going to give you is the Monday Nighter, which is Green Bay visiting Philadelphia. Green Bay's 4-6, Philly's 5-5. Obviously, Philly started off really hot this season. They've been cold lately. And Philly's favored by 3.5 as well.
Are you actually seriously asking me about this game? This is a no-brainer.
Okay, who?
The Eagles all the way.
I agree 100%.
The Eagles all the way. Green Bay is so bad this year for whatever reason. I don't know what it is, but they're just obviously struggling. And Philadelphia should not necessarily destroy, but they should win. Hands down, give the points, they'll cover, no worries.
Philadelphia has been very strong at home.
Yes, they have been.
And Green Bay is a terrible team.
Yep.
That's all you need to know.
Okay, if you do well with these three games, we'll have you on again to make more picks.
Okay, you know what's going to happen. I'm going to go 0-3.
Well, then you're not going to be back. We're not going to ask you for your picks again.
Quickly, book about college football.
Yeah.
Just the one game, the only game that's really important today. Michigan-Ohio State.
You know what? This is going to be a fun. I hope to sit on my couch and watch all 4 hours of this game because it's going to be fun and exciting.
So much on the line. I mean, never mind the rivalry. In most years, when the teams are just having random seasons, this is like they just want to kill each other just because it's their arch rival. But like it could be like the playoff berth for both of them at risk.
Right. Well, the rivalry is back. I think it's earlier than people expected, but Jim Harbaugh has done a really good job of getting Michigan into those top, you know, 3-4 teams.
Yeah.
But they're dealing with an injury to their quarterback, I believe. And Ohio State's at home. So honestly, I think Ohio State's going to win. The only problem is if Ohio State wins, Penn State goes to the Big Ten championship.
They could, yeah. And if Ohio State wins, won't Michigan fall out of that top four?
Probably.
I was shocked that they didn't already. The voters are so weird. I mean, the whole thing is a bit strange.
Yeah, well, they take it week. From what I keep hearing, they take it week to week. So they don't necessarily look at strength of schedule. Well, they look at strength of schedule, but they look just week to week. Yeah. Where's everyone at? But yeah, my money's on Ohio State. It'll probably be a close game. You know, I'd like to see. I'm a big Jim Harbaugh fan. I love the way he coaches. He doesn't put up with any guff, and he gets his teams to win. But unfortunately, my money's on Ohio State. They're at home.
49ers wish they still had him. I guarantee you that.
Well, he'll be. I think he's going back to the NFL at some point.
Yeah. Well, Chip Kelly's gonna. They can't get rid of that guy fast enough. I can tell you.
No, and as a Niners fan, that must be really hurting you
well,
a lot.
The crazy thing is like our house is Eagles and Niners, right? So I followed a guy on Twitter last year whose account was Fire Chip Kelly. So so it was I honestly thought that on the Thanksgiving, exactly 1 year ago yesterday, was the closest we've ever come to having a coach in any major sport actually fired during a game. It was Eagles got destroyed on Thanksgiving, and Eagles fans everywhere were flipping out. And they couldn't get rid of this guy fast enough. And so when they fired him, like, my son was so happy. Me too, because I've kind of like become an Eagles fan like by osmosis. And we were both so happy. And then like a few weeks later, it's like he signs with the 49ers. And I was like, oh my God, now he's on my team. And he's just a disaster. The guy's just a disaster.
He's probably one of those, you know, I'm a good college football coach.
Yeah. Doesn't work in the NFL. No.
But
look at the Eagles this year. They were the lowest time of possession team last year, and now they're the top time of possession team this year. And it makes all the difference. And the Eagles have no skill players on offense.
Right.
The fact that they're actually 5-5 is a miracle. You know, they have no running backs and no receivers and a rookie quarterback.
Because when you look at the Cowboys, they lead the league in time of possession, and look at their record. They're, 10-1.
You can't have your defense. Yeah, anyways, we can go on and on and on about Chip Kelly another time.
Yeah, no, agreed.
All right, well, thanks for coming on, telling us everything about Atlanta.
Yeah, no worries. I appreciate you letting me on the show.
We'll definitely have you on again.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for your insight, Book, and thanks for those picks. We'll write them down, and we'll check what happens.
All right, sounds good. I'll talk to you guys later.
Right.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show is over now. Don't worry, there'll be another episode soon.